well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Great to have you with us today. Coming up in a matter of moments, you're going to hear from Scott Bach, the executive director of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, talking about the new executive order by Governor Phil Murphy that allows outdoor ranges in the state to reopen as early as this Friday. Now, this new rule by Governor Murphy applies only to outdoor ranges in the state of New Jersey, but we are starting to see a slow, somewhat glacial pace of reopening of ranges around the nation. We reported at Bearing Arms on Monday that Massachusetts ranges are allowed to reopen as part of Governor Charlie Baker's Reopen Massachusetts plan. Gun stores allowed to reopen in Massachusetts about, close to 2 weeks ago now, after a federal judge granted an injunction against Governor Baker's order closing gun shops. The judge had said there just wasn't enough evidence that had been presented for him to consider allowing gun ranges to reopen. But the governor, I think, saw the writing on the wall and included indoor ranges in phase one of the reopen plan. In the state of Virginia, indoor ranges allowed to reopen in most parts of the state last week. Not all parts, unfortunately. Governor Ralph Northam has allowed the mayor of Richmond to extend the lockdown order. Local officials in the Northern Virginia area, the D.C. suburbs, Fairfax County, they are also still on lockdown. And so the ranges in those locations, the indoor ranges, not allowed to reopen. That would include some pretty big ranges like the NRA range in Fairfax, Virginia. And again, in New Jersey, indoor ranges not included in the governor's most recent order that does apply only to outdoor ranges, including the range for the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs. Again, we spoke with the organization's executive director, Scott Bach, about Governor Murphy's new order and some of the ridiculous, ridiculous restrictions that the governor has put in place. But Scott has been talking with the attorneys, and he says, you know, we think that there's some wiggle room here. Take a look and a listen. Scott, thank you so much, sir, for coming on the program. It's great talking with you today.
It's great to be back, Cam.
And let's get into the new executive order by Governor Phil Murphy allowing outdoor recreation activities to resume this Friday, and that includes outdoor ranges. This comes just a couple of days after the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs filed a lawsuit over the closure of outdoor ranges. Do you think these two things might be connected, Scott?
There is a 100% chance. 100. Before we filed our lawsuit, I mean, listen, we've been in dialogue with the governor's office, and we specifically told them, you know, we'd like to sit down and discuss reopening outdoor ranges. And they said, no, thank you, not going to happen. So we, the next day, filed our lawsuit. The day after that, filed a preliminary injunction motion. And just a few days later, bang, with no advance notice to us, by the way, you know, there it is in the Executive Order 147, including reopening of ranges.
Well, yeah. So what's your take on this? First of all, I guess I should ask, does this lawsuit continue even with the governor reopening outdoor ranges as of Friday?
It does, for technical reasons. For two reasons. One of them is, if we have a further skirmish on outdoor ranges, we don't want to have to restart a lawsuit all over again. But secondly, we plan on, if necessary, bringing a case to reopen indoor ranges at the appropriate moment. That moment has not happened yet. And I know, you know, like, people are very upset about that, but we have been extremely disciplined about when to bring these cases. You know, not at the beginning of a pandemic when everything is closed and everyone's running around, you know, with their hands in the air, and courts are hostile to us and telling our lawyers, you know, please don't file anything. You know, our judges will be inclined, you know, to be hostile toward anything filed during this period. So, we were very disciplined. I mean, listen, this is the second step in a three-part process. The first part was the governor shuttered everything with his initial executive order. Everything in the state, including ranges, including NICs, including gun shops.
Mm-hmm.
And we immediately sued on gun shops, and he backed down, just like he did here. At the time, we were under a lot of pressure from members to sue on behalf of ranges. We didn't because we have seen what has happened in the height of an emergency. The rules go out the window. And we took a tactical approach to wait a couple of weeks until things start to reopen, things less important than ranges start to reopen. So if the governor reopens golf courses and tennis courts, which he did, that was our cue. How can you not reopen something that's constitutionally protected like a range? So we're going to be disciplined with indoor ranges, too. We're going to wait till there's an analog. We're going to wait till they box themselves in.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the specifics of the governor's order, because as he stated, you know, there are still going to be all kinds of social distancing rules that apply, including no more than 10 patrons at any of these outdoor businesses. You know, if you read that on the face, you know, just what the governor says, that would mean that outdoor ranges couldn't have more than 10 folks. And as I wrote at Bearing Arms yesterday, that would dramatically impact the Association of Jersey Rifle and Pistol Club range. Your attorneys have been looking at the governor's order, and they've got a little bit different interpretation than what I talked about yesterday at Bearing Arms, correct?
Yes. Actually, how can I explain this? let's say you have a 100-yard outdoor range, and let's say you have a, not a 100-yard, but a 100 yards of 100-acre outdoor range, and there's 10 ranges on it, okay? 10 separate shooting lines, firing lines for different disciplines. And let's say you have a 1-acre range with one firing line on it. So, you know, here's the bottom line. What the executive order means as far as this 10-person limit is per firing line. So if you're on a range that has one firing line with 20 ports, you can only have 10 people on it at a time. If you have a 100-acre range with 10 firing lines, you can have 10 shooters on each firing line at a time. So it's, you know, this draconian interpretation that no matter what size your range is, 10 people flat is not right. And think about it for a second. Okay. If that were the case, okay, imagine in the 100-acre range, okay, one person on each range, okay, is all you can have, but on the 1-acre range, you can have 10 people on a single firing line. So in other words, if 10 people on a single firing line is acceptable, how can there possibly be a situation where you have multiple firing lines where, you know, having 10 on each is not? Now, listen, let's be clear. You know, we're not declaring a huge victory at 10 people per firing line. But it's certainly, you know, we can pace ourselves in a way to get the people who want to shoot in and out in a day. It's something we can manage, and it's something most ranges can manage. You know, this, I guarantee you, we would still be pursuing our lawsuit actively if it was, you know, 10 people on a range, no matter how many firing lines there are. So,
have you spoken with the governor's office about your interpretation of his executive order?
We have taken all the steps that we need to take.
Okay.
There's a specific reason I'm not answering you directly, okay, that involves legal privilege, but the bottom line we've taken all the steps we need to take, you know, let the governor, you know, take that position if he's inclined to do so. The bottom line is he's backed away twice. We've sued him twice. He's backed off twice. He's talked tough until we've sued him. The minute we've sued him, he's backed off. I don't expect to get a fight from the governor's office on this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we start, you know, lobbying the governor and assuming it to be a certain way, you may give him ideas. So let's just, you know, leave things be and let's reopen our ranges and take it from there. Should there be some attempt to misinterpret his own executive order, we'll be right back there in court, you know, to stop it.
Well, that is good to hear. So this Friday, the ANJRPC range is going to be open for business.
Yes, it will. Friday, 6 a.m. is when all ranges are outdoor ranges are authorized, quote-unquote, to reopen in New Jersey. the social distancing guidelines are overly stringent, most likely, but they are what they are, and you know they're not impossible to follow. They're, you know, whether they're actually needed or not, I guess I'm not going to opine on, but that's what the executive order says. You've also got to view this in context. Okay, now while we know Governor Murphy hates gun owners and hates ranges and hates everything to do with firearms, he's not just picking on gun ranges. I mean, he shut everything subject to a few crazy exceptions. Okay, and admittedly, those were crazy. We have forced him now into a posture of having to reopen outdoor ranges and having to reopen gun stores and NICS, the point of contact state in New Jersey, but to allow NICS to reopen. So, you know, we're in a larger context. Everything else is pretty much shut down. So it's a pretty big deal for the Garden State. I can't speak for the rest of the country. We're not happy about the limitations. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, this represents some serious progress from where we started.
No, absolutely. And you know, again, I mean, you talk about the hostility from Governor Murphy, you know, again, originally not just closing gun stores, but actually shutting down the background check system in the state. And then, you know, reluctantly allowing these gun stores to reopen after the lawsuits were filed and the CISA guidance came out from DHS. And, you know, you had talked about in one of the press releases from the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, Governor Murphy's comments, you know, related to these gun store closures, they didn't even mention public health. They didn't mention really the coronavirus. His attitude was, well, I just think we're a better society if we have you know, fewer gun stores, if we have fewer guns in the hands of residents. I mean, it seems to me like the governor has used this as an opportunity. As you say, gun stores and ranges in the firearms industry are not the only industry impacted by the governor's order. But it seems like the governor's, you know, not shedding any tears over any firearm-related businesses that might close as a result of his orders.
No, he's taking particular delight in abusing his discretion to make sure that gun owners are impacted one way or the other. And it, you know, he's forced us to slog it out in court, you know, so far twice, you know, maybe he'll learn, you know, third time is the knockout punch. You know, you listen, our focus now turns to indoor ranges and getting them reopened. You know, there are all kinds of fallacies with keeping them closed. I mean, you know, one of them is most indoor ranges circulate the air so frequently for lead management that the air might be cleaner at an indoor range than at some outdoor ranges. It's just dumb, and it's just an anti-gun governor abusing his power and having the cover of the pandemic to cloak his actions in legitimacy. And, you know, we're not going to stand for it. Now, listen, there are certainly gun owners in New Jersey that don't want us to use the court system. They would rather just show up at the range and have ranges reopen on their own. And that's tempting. It's very tempting, you know, to have civil disobedience. But, you know, as a state association, we have to play by the rules. So we are playing by the rules, and we're winning. So it's, you know, strike one, strike two, and, you know, indoor ranges will be strike three for the governor when the time comes.
Talking with Scott Bach from the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs. One last question for you, Scott, away from the range issue. We once again saw the Supreme Court release their orders on Monday of this week. No new Second Amendment cases taken. All 10 or so Second Amendment related cases are relisted for their conference coming up tomorrow, Thursday this week. That includes Rogers versus Grewal. And, you know, a lot of the court watchers that I've been paying attention to say that Rogers is one of the cases that they really believe the court is looking closely at. Are you concerned that we've now gone a couple of weeks and a couple of conferences without the Supreme Court announcing a Second Amendment case? And are you still optimistic and hopeful that Rogers versus Grewal, challenging New Jersey's carry permit system, are you still hopeful that the court is eyeing that one closely?
Yes, we are hopeful that the court's eyeing that one closely, and we're not concerned by the delay. You know, the putting off of conferences on a particular case is actually a normal thing. It happened in many cases, and particularly in the important ones, they may take a few conferences to kick it around, talk to each other, argue with each other before they make a final decision. So, you know, this is, nobody should feel like, oh my goodness, this delay is something unusual. It's very typical. And there's 10 cases there, that they put on the sidelines. They need to examine them and make sure of what they're doing. Listen, the one outcome, I would be very unhappy about would be for them to deny taking any of the 10 cases.
Yeah.
Yes, we want Rogers versus Rule to be taken up because we think it's the best and easiest, win, for us. But the important thing is that they take up some Second Amendment case and they use that case to stop the abuse that's going on in the lower court since Heller and McDonald were decided, where lower courts are just like, making stuff up, using little tiny cracks in Heller and McDonald to make up new rules wholesale. That has to stop. If the court refuses to do that, that's a problem for all of us, but I'm confident they will take at least one of the Second Amendment cases, and of course, very hopeful is Rogers versus Gruel. So we finally, in addition to getting some new rules on how to approach Second Amendment cases, we also tackle the issue of right to carry once and for all for the entire country.
Absolutely. Scott Bach, as always, sir, a real pleasure talking with you. Are you going to be at the range on Friday? Are you going to get a chance to get out and shoot?
I actually will not be at the range on Friday, but there will be lots of folks there. We expect a big crowd, actually, all weekend long. And so it's a good thing. The association did a good thing with this lawsuit. The outcome's not perfect. It's livable, and we're going to continue to improve on it.
Excellent. Scott, thanks so much. Look forward to talking to you again soon, sir. All right. Well, we will keep our eyes on everything going on in the Garden State, including potentially a lawsuit over the closure of indoor ranges in the not-too-distant future. Right now, let's get to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, as well as our recidivist report. In fact, we will start there. Boston, Massachusetts. Boston Herald reporting a man in an alleged shootout with cops on probation for an assault charge. This shootout with police happened on Saturday. The assault charge happened a little bit ago. But 40-year-old Tyler Brown now facing 9 counts, including attempted murder and various weapons charges for exchanging gunfire with cops on the south side of Boston on Saturday afternoon. There were 4 people that were moving into an apartment that told police that Brown had approached them and asked, "Where are you from?" Said, "Call your boys." Flashed a handgun. That's when one of the apartment goers called 911, prompting Brown to flee. When police caught up with him on Massachusetts Avenue, there was an exchange of gunfire. Police were able to apprehend Brown without any injuries, according to the report. According to the Boston Herald, in February of this year, Brown violated his probation on a 2016 assault with a deadly weapon conviction after failing 3 drug tests and missing 5 appointments with his probation office in January and February. So this is before the coronavirus. He can't say, "Well, I was just sheltering in place." No, that's not going to fly. A Boston judge, after these repeated violations of Brown's probation, on February 24th, released Brown on his personal recognizance, meaning he didn't have to pay a dime to get out of jail. Another judge then extended his probation to 2025. So in other words, you violate your probation? Well, we're going to keep you on probation even longer, sir. Ooh, scary. Apparently, that really didn't get Mr. Brown's attention, according to the allegations here. Boston Police Commissioner William Gross on Saturday said Brown was released from prison back in January. Court records show Brown serving his sentence on the assault charge with a undisclosed release date. Court records also show that Brown had prior convictions for a drug offense in 2008, as well as a firearm charge in 2009. Okay, look, those are more than a decade ago. That's fine, whatever. Maybe he could have turned his life around. Clearly not, but he could have. But let's focus on just what happened since February. Again, when you violate your probation repeatedly, when you show that you don't give a damn about complying with the rules that have kept you out of prison, and then the judge takes a look at this and says, "Well, gosh, you know what? We're just going to let you out on your own recognizance. Just show up for court, young man, and 40-year-old young man." And then when he does show up, another judge says, "This is really bad, Mr. Brown. You know, you've shown flagrant disrespect for the law, which is why we're going to extend your probation another 5 years. Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. All right. And again, while this is taking place, you've got lawmakers and law enforcement officers like the Attorney General, Maury Healey, going after legal gun owners, trying to shut down gun stores, trying to shut down online gun classes, online training courses. That's where folks like the Attorney General, Maury Healey, are focused, while violent criminals get a slap on the wrist and are sent on their merry way. All right, today's armed citizen story, Fort Worth, Texas. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reporting a homeowner shot a man during an attempted home invasion in Fort Worth, Texas. This happened on Sunday morning. Police say that a homeowner shot one of three individuals trying to break into the man's Fort Worth home. It's before 6:30 in the morning. Homeowner called police, said that men dressed in black kicked in the front door, tried to come into his home. Homeowner shot two rounds, hit one of the men before they ran away. Officers found two of the three suspects and were able to take them into custody. Shortly after the home invasion call, woman called police and said that her father had been shot. The father, apparently the third suspect, he too was taken into custody, at least taken into a hospital. Don't have a lot of details about this home invasion. Hopefully we'll learn more over the next couple of days. But by all accounts, this looks like a clear-cut case of self-defense there in Fort Worth, Texas. Finally today, our good deed of the day, also from Texas, Lubbock, Texas, where an off-duty Lubbock police officer saved a woman from her burning home. This was on Tuesday, it was on Sunday, but the Lubbock Police Department recognizing this officer on Tuesday of this week. Off-duty Lubbock police officer identified as Officer Wood, returning home from working security at his church, pulled in and saw his neighbor's home on fire. The person standing outside told Officer Wood that 911 had already been alerted, but their elderly neighbor was still inside the home. Lubbock police says Officer Wood immediately ran inside to find her and to bring her out to safety, and was able to escort her out of the home as Lubbock Fire and Rescue arrived on scene. Post went on to say Officer Wood could have stopped there. Instead, he helped the neighbor contact family and then proceeded to help block the road while Lubbock Fire and Rescue continued to fight the fire. So in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing and to save the life of a neighbor. Officer Wood, we thank you, sir, for your very, very good deed. That is all the time we've got for you on this edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company. Want to thank you for being a part of the program. We talked about a live chat for VIP Gold members yesterday that is taking place. By the time you see this, it will have already concluded, but the replay is available. Yes, it is, for all of our VIP Gold members. So if you want to take a look at the live chat with Sam J., Politifoo from Twitchy, as well as Ed Morrissey. He doesn't have a cute nickname, but you know Ed from Hot Air, and myself. You can become a VIP Gold member of Town Hall Media. You can do that right at BearingArms.com. In fact, if you use the code Wuhan, you get 25% off of your VIP Gold membership at the moment. You can also subscribe to Town Hall Media here on YouTube or the Bearing Arms Cam and Company podcast on Apple Podcasts or all other fine podcast platforms. We will be back tomorrow with more of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. But thank you for being a part of the program today. Until we speak again, be safe, be well, be free. And we'll see you soon with more Bearing Arms, Cam and Company.